Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. This is Bill Hutchison sitting in for Mary Charlotte. We are broadcasting live, as always, from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are also podcasting Welcome to the 21st Century at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and you can subscribe to the show for free on iTunes. We have a packed show today. Later in the program, members of the Roots and Shoots Santa Fe Animal Shelter Youth Board will be with us, as well as Rob DeWalt of Pasa Tiempo fame for Speaking of the Arts. But right now, I would like to welcome Carmen Gallegos, Dolna Smith back, and Judy Goldberg of the Youth Media Project. Good morning. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you.
We had a busy morning getting ready this morning, didn't we? It was all sorts of people rushing around, but we got it. We're on the air, and nothing got broken. No technology, no arms.
I'm sure you want to mention what we're all wearing.
Yeah, we have these lovely flowers that Judy brought us. What are they?
Sweet peas.
Indeed they are.
They're gorgeous. I don't know if they smell good because my nose is a little cloggy, but they look beautiful enough that I'm imagining they smell fantastic. So before we talk about the two fantastic things that are going on with Youth Media Project, tell us a little bit about what it is.
Youth Media Project is a youth-run radio program on KSFR, and youth produce it, youth come up with the ideas. It's basically what it is.
And added to that, it's actually broadcast that the Youth Media Project produces each Wednesday for an hour, every other Wednesday on here on KSFR, is the culmination of 8 different educational settings that we work within at this point. We work with Santa Fe Public Schools, Monte del Sol, Santa Fe High School, ATC, and Capitol High School. We work with EarthCare International, where we now have our offices and our equipment. And that's where our wonderful interns, who are Carmen, well, actually have interns, and we also have Vista Volunteers, AmeriCorps Vista Volunteers, which Carmen and Dolna are wonderfully granted to us this year. They came through the program as high school students, and now they are actually paid to work with us. We love that.
Getting paid for public radio is kind of an enormous step. That's huge.
Oh yeah.
So, okay. Judy, you're ED of Youth Media Project, and Carmen and Dolna, you've produced a number of different programs. What led you to YMP?
I had been talking with Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, about media, and she mentioned to me that KSFR had a youth radio program, and she gave me KSFR's number, and I got in contact with them.
That's kind of a huge endorsement for the Youth Media Project, that Amy Goodman says, hey, there's this great program going on in Santa Fe. Carmen, how did you come to it?
Well, I got involved with it before it was the Youth Media Project. My freshman year, when I was at Capitol High School, Judy Goldberg came into my AVID class, and she just mentioned this radio thing, and I'm like, yay, I'm going to be like on Kiss FM, putting music and rap and DJ, and it wasn't like that. But we didn't have a show when we started, so I stuck with it, and I had hopes for it, and I was like, we're going to have a show one day, Judy, we're going to have, and Judy always told me, we're going to have a show, Carmen, so when we got our show, it was a big deal, so for me, it's a big deal.
I believe it. Now, the two of you are going on what sounds like the most fantastic thing that you could imagine getting to do in the summer. Tell me a little bit about that.
We are going on the Amistad Schooner, the Freedom Ship, in Mystic, Connecticut, or Mystic Seaport, for 3 days, or 2 days we'll be sailing, and the rest of the time we'll be working with the organization
called Global Youth Leadership Institute, who invited us to participate with them.
Yes, and so we're going to be learning about diversity and just kind of learning to live with diversity and accepting other people's differences.
Have you ever been on a boat before?
No, not me. I've been like on a little lancha, how do you say in English? Just like those little boats.
Like a canoe?
Yeah, kind of. Uh-huh. But I've never been on a ship. And I've never been without, I don't know, I've never taken showers with other people. And we're going to have to live simply, I guess.
Yes.
Explain that, Judy.
Well, we're evidently staying at a school campus, but we're basically staying on the football field with tents. And we have access to the gymnasium for
showers.
Facilities. And I understand that the days are packed with workshops and team building. And on the last day, when we're actually on the Amistad, we'll have 2 days on the Amistad, the last day, the student participants, there's teachers and student participants in this, the students will be We don't call it driving the boat. We
sailing.
Call it sailing. Sailing the ship.
I think they call it piloting. Is it piloting? You pilot a ship?
Okay.
It might be right. I don't think there are enough sailors in Santa Fe to really call in and correct us, so we can call it whatever we want to call it.
Call it whatever we want, yeah.
So you're going to be producing some tape for this as well. What's
yes.
the? Do you have an idea of what you're going to do, or is this going to come together when you get there?
You know, we have a general idea of what we want to do, but we haven't really. I think once we get there and we see what the other students are like, what they're interested in, then we'll have a better idea.
Well, the idea me and Donna was talking about earlier this week was, see, the whole thing, they talk about five C's. Color.
Culture, context.
Character.
Five
is, it,
C's.
Is this radio lingo, or is this part
no,
of the
this
Global
is our,
Youth Leadership
the Global Youth
okay.
Leadership. So me and Donna, because it's just me, her, and Judy going, so we said, okay, between me and Donna, we're going to split up the C's. Two and two, and the third one, the fifth one, we're going to do it together. We're going to do a narrative, and we're going to do a montage, cascading voices for the second seat, and the third
now
one.
Now tell me what cascading voices
cascading
are.
Cascading voices is
going around, you interview a bunch of people, and then you edit it together so one person's voice follows the other. So it's kind of this rolling water flow effect.
With maybe some sound effects and music
yes.
embedded.
Got it. I hear
so
you.
That's our second cascading. And the third one is actually going to be an interview with a Harvard professor.
Yes, the keynote speaker.
Keynote speaker.
Ulrich from Harvard Divinity School.
Oh, wow.
He's evidently an incredible, powerful speaker.
Mm-hmm. So big deal. We have to be super professional. We have to be super professional. So.
What have you done to prepare for this whole adventure?
Well, we've been reading the books about the Amistad. We're going to watch the movie.
As you know, Hollywood always gives faithful and historical adaptations.
Exactly.
So you get no misinformation whatsoever. Jimin Hansu was really on the boat, as I understand it.
Yes. We're going to, you know, we've started doing a lot of research. We know about the Global Youth Leadership Institute and stuff like that.
And we've had John Brayman, who lives here in Santa Fe, who is the founder of the Global Youth Leadership Institute, and he has graciously made this connection for us. And as a result, he's also really been shepherding us along in terms of what it's going to be like. He has extended his really wonderful raincoat to Carmen because we hear
Yay.
That rain is definitely in the forecast, as it's been for weeks and weeks in the East.
I got an email from my friend in Connecticut just this morning who said she was just about to leave to take her dog for a walk in the fog.
Wow.
Fog's beautiful.
And this little Mexican, I've only been in cerros, deserts, and I live close to the beach, so I don't know
this
how
will
it
be
is.
A whole new experience.
It's going to be a whole new experience. And John was telling me that I'm apparently the only person that's foreign born, so in New Mexico, that's not like...
Oh, wait a minute. We've got
oh, you're
here.
Born in India. Hey, we're exotic.
There you go.
I'll say.
You will be contributing to your own study of the diversity on the Amistad.
Indeed, yeah. Yes.
Yes, we will.
So what is it about radio that attracts you? Why this particular medium? Why not television? Why not print journalism? Why not skywriting?
Well, see, I don't know how to write. Okay, I write like I speak, and I don't speak too perfect to begin. TV, it's too much to get ready for it. I have to straighten my hair all the time, so no. And see, radio is just pretty chill, pretty relaxed, kickbacks. And besides, it's like just the whole opportunity of being able to say what you think. And I don't know, let people inform people that you're not just the stereotypical so-and-so. And this is what you have to offer. And know that we also, like youth, we can give back to our community. So that's at least appealing to me.
What about you, Dolma?
You know, I just haven't had the chance to explore other fields. Really, I just kind of fell into radio during my sophomore, junior year, and I've just kind of stuck with it. So.
And did you mention your internship?
Oh, I did not. this past spring, I had an internship at Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman working in the producer's office.
Talk a little bit about that experience.
It was.
Tell me about that, but also tell me what was it like going in with the Youth Media Project background? Did that illuminate your path a little bit?
It did and it didn't. Because I was working in the producer's office, it was a completely new field for me. I was doing a ton of research, which I really enjoyed. I learned how to do effective research. And just getting to work in that office where they're always so busy and just kind of seeing how everyone interacts with each other and just how the show's put together, that was really powerful because I've been an avid listener of Democracy Now! Since like seventh grade. So it was a great experience.
And that's a daily program, so yes. I'm sure they've got it cranked up to about 11 and a half all the time there.
Yeah, it's very busy all the time. But it's great.
That's good. Judy, there's also an intensive coming up. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, we have our second year of hosting. We have a summer intensive at the Santa Fe Community College, and it is a credited class in their human development division, which is core studies and liberal arts. And the student is offered to high school students who can appreciate something called dual credit, dual enrollment, whereby if they enroll through us and fill out all the important paperwork, they then can get a tuition waiver. So they can come to us for 2 solid weeks. It's July 20th to the 31st, 5 days a week, and it is 7 hours a day. And we do all of the steps that we do through the school year with all our different partners. So it is doing writing exercises and listening to good radio pieces, critiquing, starting to develop your own questions and ideas from your writing and storytelling work. And then we have students really hone in on a particular subject area. They go out and identify people in their community to do interviews. I think this year we're going to actually go on the train and take it down to Albuquerque. And just as a location to find people to talk with, we're going to go to the zoo.
That sounds very exciting.
That's really fun. And then the second week, so that's all in the first week. And then the second week, really developing the pieces. So they will have Joey Chavez from the Santa Fe High School, who's one of our partners, wonderful theater producer and writer. He's going to do some oral work with the students and delivery. We have Michael Chavez, who is our director of broadcasts and production, and he will be teaching editing. And then we have throughout our, what can I say about Lisa Goldman, who is just phenomenal at working with students, knows media and culture content extensively, and she and I are both going to be guiding the ship, so to speak. And at the end of the 2 weeks, we will do an hour-long broadcast. It won't be live, but we will pre-produce it and put it on one of our regular slots here on KSFR.
Are you still signing people up for this?
That is such a wonderful question to ask. We certainly are. And anyone who is interested or knows someone who might be interested, it is you just track it down by going to youthmediaproject.org and have a sign-up form, and then we get you all connected to how to do the paperwork. And if there's any college students, because our age group is from 14 to 21, 23 rather, and so college students can take this. It's basically $100. It's a 3-credit class, so you get 1 credit at your high school and 3 credits at the college. And education.
You can also get a scholarship if you need it.
That's potentially true for college students.
That sounds excellent. If you guys weren't going to be radio buccaneers on the high seas, would you be clamoring to do the intensive? Have you done it before?
I have not done it, but I did help out with it a little bit last year, and it looked like a lot of fun. So, yes, I would.
And they are actually, they're leaving it too. I'm sorry, we still have them for those 2 weeks.
Oh, that's perfect. So you were going to be...
we'll be there. We'll live it.
The radio whip will be cracking on you. What are your future radio plans, post-Amistad, if any?
For me, I really want to get involved with this. I love working with youth. I love working with media. And it extends, it's even more broad than just radio. It goes from web design to engineering. And hey, if you're interested in music, you can be an engineer too. So it has so many links. And I love it. And just bringing out my community.
One of the things that really strikes me about this program is that the youth are very often a very marginalized voice that... people don't want to hear. A lot of people don't want to hear, I think, what the young people of the country have to say. But this not only encourages you to do it, it gives you a platform and a tremendous audience. Do you feel more inclined when you're not behind the microphone to take full possession of the voice that you use when you're behind the microphone?
I would say yes. I've kind of been brought up that way, so for me it's kind of natural to just kind of say what I'm feeling and protest, support, whatever I feel. But I think radio has, working with Youth Media Project, has given me the opportunity to express those views in a different and sometimes more effective way with certain shows that I've done and certain topics and events that I've covered.
You both strike me as people who do not necessarily have that much trouble finding your voice, whether it's a voice of dissent, protest, or just friendly greeting.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds excellent. What else is coming up with Youth Media Project in the future? Do you have grand expansion plans?
We always have grand expansion plans. Yes, well, we're continuing on with working with our partners, and in addition to the ones I mentioned earlier in the show, we also work with United World College, and this past year worked with Pauake High School students. We work with a group called Enlace Gear Up and also Connecting to Courage. Just yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was at the New Mexico Penitentiary, and there may be interest in doing media work there.
Wow.
We're also working with the community college on a grant right now that ties to service learning. And we may have a VISTA volunteer for this coming year. So we have a lot of plans. And the other big area that we're exploring, this trip being really an entree into it, is the global connection. And I've been asked to participate as a delegate for the Youth Media Summit coming up in August in Chicago. So there'll be 40 people from around the country coming to really shape this field that is emerging. And that it has really proven to be, I mean, it's still being tested, but I think it's a great way for learning anything. I mean, it's a great way for academic studies to be applied. It's a way to really learn about your own community, hence care about your community. And I mean, we have all these terms. I'm fresh from writing grants. So, you know, it's civic engagement, it's youth development. I mean, these have real flesh and bones to them. And I think the Youth Media Project is really starting to carve its way into being, you know, not only statewide partners. KUNM is one of our partners because we send our pieces to them and they air it. And then there's also something which all radio producers probably know about is Public Radio Exchange. And that's a way to disseminate these pieces through the internet. It's a distribution system through the internet.
Some great material on there. And as
right.
I understand, pieces by both you, by both Dolna and Carmen are available on PRX.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the Radio Cafe. Judy, once again, if people want more information on the intensive,
go to youthmediaproject.org and listen to what's up there. Dolna and Carmen will soon have a piece up about talking about going on to the Amistad and some of their experiences. And then there's a lot of pieces to listen to as well. We are, as everybody, growing our website. And I think Carmen had something she wanted to just mention at the very end.
Yeah, if I can, like, a minute. There's a thing going on with a family member. I don't know if you've heard about the cartels in Mexico. A member of our family got kidnapped. But they're asking for $200,000. We're doing a beneficiary, fundraising the money. There's a dance today at Tequilas. Now they're asking for $150,000 to Suburbans, year 2010. In exchange of the guy.
Wow.
So there's going to be a dance at Tequilas tonight at 8. It's Jesus Zambrano, that's the name of the person. And they'll just be there, and it's just at the front door, and that's it. It's so.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening wants to help out, yeah, it's going to be at Tequilas, which is on Cerrillos next to the mall. There's a little dance club right there.
Okay. Well, buena suerte with that project. Yes, thank you both for coming on the radio. Judy, thank you. I hope
thank
we can
you.
Talk again when you get back.
Thank
That'll
you. Be fabulous. Thank you Thanks so much.
Great we'll be right here. Back with the Roots and Shoots Animal Shelter Youth Board.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. This is Bill Hutchison sitting in for Mary Charlotte. We have our second group of brilliant youth with us this morning. Some folks from the Roots and Shoots Santa Fe Animal Shelter Youth Board. My friend Arlo Barnes, Genevieve Conley, and Roots and Shoots Maven, Emily Dietrich-Milstein. Good morning. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
How are you all doing this morning?
Very good.
Pretty good.
Good.
Excellent. It's nice to be here in the Santa Fe Baking Company.
It's a nice ambient noise behind us. A lot of people sometimes think it's fake soundtrack, but it's really real. This is what it really sounds like around us, like a cafe war zone. So I need one of you to tell our listeners what the Roots and Shoots is and your involvement as the Santa Fe Animal Shelter Youth Board. I'm looking at you, Genevieve. You're on.
Okay. The Roots and Shoots, the Youth Board is a group of teenagers that got together to help the environment and to help animals in the animal shelter. And Roots and Shoots is the Jane Goodall Institute. And we partner with them for the environment and to help people and the community.
Yeah, basically, Roots and Shoots you know, Jane Goodall started the Jane Goodall Institute, and they have a program called Roots and Shoots. And their mission is to help people, animals, the environment. So they've got a pretty wide spectrum. But what they'll do around is they'll look for organizations that they can help bring to fruition that are, like, you know, environmental organizations or humanitarian or whatever. So the Santa Fe Animal Shelter decided to sort of partner with the Roots and Shoots and start a youth board. And basically, you know, they sent out feelers and into the youth community and got a bunch of teenagers. And
the feelers felt you and sucked you in. So one of the things that I think is that I've enjoyed about Roots and Shoots is that the projects you do are projects that you come up with. How do you find this? I mean, do you find this to be an empowering experience, or do you get excited about things you can do? Do you find that your mind is blown open by the fact that you can pick anything you want to do and run with it?
It's really fun to see your plans, the things you planned out, you know, your dreams, the things that you already want to do happening. It's, you know, sometimes it's, you know, sort of hard to schedule and arrange everything so that it works, but once it does, it's really rewarding.
And you both have pet projects, a number of social and political concerns that are on your mind. Genevieve, what's important to you that draws you into this, things that you actually want to make a difference on starting now versus, say, when you're done with college and older and what have you?
I want to help animals and make them feel more comfortable where they live, and I want to also help people and the environment, like climate change or anything like that. If I could help that I would try really hard.
You told me a story the other day that I have repeated a number of times. One of Genevieve's interests, she confessed to me on last Saturday, was that we were talking about the human-animal bond. And Genevieve told me the story that if anybody else had told me, I would have said they were a liar. But Genevieve has a perfectly honest face, so I knew that there was not an ounce of fiction to it. Tell me the horse story.
Okay, so I was on my horse this one day, and I was riding her, and like horses, they're pretty big and heavy, and she didn't know. She sort of forgot I was on her back, and she laid down to roll in the sand, and I got all freaked out, jumped off, and started crying because it was really scary. And just she stood up and looked at me, and then she started crying too, and it was just really amazing. I didn't know that horses could cry also. It was like she had a connection with me, like, right then.
Do you feel like the way you viewed animals changed after that?
Definitely. I knew that now that I knew that animals were more like us, I could connect with them better and know that maybe what they're feeling could be what I'm feeling too.
Wow, that's a lovely thought. Arlo, what are your pet projects and passions? What do you want to do in Roots and Shoots and beyond?
Well, although I'm on the Santa Fe Animal Shelter Youth Board, I've always wanted to sort of volunteer at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, you know, taking care of all the dogs and cats and small animals that they have there. What I've always wanted to see happen is, like, most people know about the Keep Santa Fe Beautiful project, basically collecting trash by the roadside, but it's never really been a widespread thing. And, you know, if you still go on roads around the edge of Santa Fe, you can see litter everywhere. So it's sort of frustrated me. So I've always wanted to see, you know, that cleaned up. And, you know, as in addition to, like, you know, Genevieve almost, you know, put the words in my mouth when I, you know, like, my feelings about helping animals. That's, you know, I would like to do all those things before college and continue on into my life, because I, you know, really do feel that animals are more empathetic than most people think.
I think that's very likely true. Emily, you've worked with a whole variety of youth through the Roots and Shoots project. What have you gotten out of this as you've met and moved through the lives of these kids?
I think the funnest part is the ideas that I can think of and come up with projects and help them move forward in some of their ideas and their aspirations.
is their creativity. They have so many more ideas than I ever can come up with, and it's just so much fun watching that confidence being built, that they'll come up with one thing, and I'd be like, well, I don't know how we can do that, and then they just make it happen. It's really, really fun.
What do you? I think there are a lot of people who might believe, certainly not after this morning's show with two stunning youth groups, but I think there are a lot of people who believe that the youth of today are apathetic, would rather play with a Wii and watch television than actually get out into the community and make a difference. What would you say to people who would level that charge at the youth of today?
I think that I don't think that youth are pathetic in any way or don't want to help. But there are certainly people who I think they're maybe scared of helping or don't know how to help. So there need to be other youth or friends or peers that need to help them and push them to help also, or give them ways to help in the community.
I mean, like, you know, there's nobody who says, well, you know, I'm too lazy to try to help, you know, better my surroundings or, you know, clean up the planet I'm on. It's just, you know, if you don't have that many opportunities or, you know, that many resources to make a change, then of course you're, you know, just going to play video games or whatever. But I think, you know, if there's programs that get youth inspired to do these sort of things, which I think is, you know, very easy, youth are definitely not apathetic at all. And as long as you give them the resources, like, they're, you know, youth are, like, they don't see problems in things. Like,
you know. How do you mean?
Well, for example, or not for example, like, they wouldn't see how it, they wouldn't see how a project would be difficult or wouldn't work. So, of course, it does work because they see past anything that might go wrong.
There is no possibility or impossibility, that it's just the thing you're doing.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, I think given, you know, given an outlet for their, you know, their dreams, their passions, youth can definitely do a lot in their community. And
I agree. Who inspires you when you think about the people in the world who you want to emulate, who whose work is really kind of fantastic to you? Who do you think of?
Jane Goodall is one of them. She, I was reading her book, and I just was so pulled in that she was so detailed, and she was different in where she knew that the chimpanzees had feelings and could actually had emotions. They were sort of like humans, but nobody believed her. And I just found that very amazing.
Especially considering your horse story.
Yeah.
What about you, Arlo?
Well, I admire basically anybody, you know, who you know, has the guts to, you know, help their community and the world. But specific here is, you know, they change a lot from time to time. Currently, it's Aldo Leopold, who is a naturalist, and he wrote a book called The Sand County Almanac. And basically, you know, it's had helped to start the Green Revolution, if you want to call it that. So, you know, I think people that bring around mass consciousness of issues are definitely very praiseable. And also, on the humanitarian side of things, I've sort of got a theme for authors, because another hero of mine is Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
What is it about Solzhenitsyn that attracts you or inspires you?
Well, what he did is he wrote during, like, you know, after the Russian Revolution leading up to the collapse of the USSR in 91, he was in Russia documenting the various things that happened, especially his book he wrote was called The Gulag Archipelago, because he was recording what happened in the gulags, or the labor camps in Russia. And because he was doing this during the time, and he was in Russia, he could very well be sent to one of those camps for subversive ideas. So it was very brave of him to write the book, and, you know, and that for not much benefit to him, at, you know, within view.
You guys have great heroes, fantastic heroes. Do you feel like Roots and Shoots is giving you skills that you will take out of your adolescence well into your adulthood?
Definitely. I think skills and also just, like, you know, if you do these things now, you'll if you do projects that, you know, help the community, you'll continue doing them. Whereas if you don't do these things early on, it's hard to get started doing them. So I would encourage any youth out there that the earliest they can try to do anything for their community, or, you know, and it doesn't have to be work. It can be any fun thing that you can think of. Selling lemonade and donating it to a cancer fund is, you know, it's any little thing counts, and it helps you on the way to doing more things in the future. And it looks good on your resume.
Yes, it does. In fact, I think one of our earliest youth board members did exactly that. She was a lemonade sales girl and donated the proceeds to the animal shelter. When you think about you know, leaving your youth and moving into your adulthood and taking on these various projects, does it feel daunting to you? Do you feel like, how will I ever really make a dent in animal welfare and climate change and social welfare? Does it seem too big, or do you feel like you can take it on?
Sometimes it does, but I mean, like, if you keep we've already started, so it's not like we can't keep going, and if we just keep trying and trying, and we'll eventually get to this big project that maybe will help a big, big cause.
And I suppose doing something beats the heck out of doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree, because you shouldn't just think about it so much. Because, I mean, if you think about the task ahead of you, of course it's going to look daunting because there's a lot to do. But if you just take one thing at a time and just keep going forward with various projects and, you know, bettering the world in your community, then eventually it's going to get finished, especially if, you know, the 6.8 billion people on this planet do that.
Absolutely. Emily, do you feel, as a more grown up than our two cohorts here on the show this morning, do you feel like they have changed your outlook on what can be done and on how making a difference can really do something?
Absolutely. I'd say that's one of my favorite parts of being in this position, is that before I became on to Reaching Truth, the weight of the world is still very heavy, and there's a lot of things that can make you depressed and feel hopeless. But watching these kids with all this hope and all this enthusiasm for what they're doing has really changed my outlook on the world and our future and in youth in general. So it's been really great.
I was thinking about that while we were talking. Arlo, I've known you now for a couple of years, and Genevieve, I've known you now for a couple of days. But I find both of you to be so full of, I'm not even sure that I know what to call it. It's just this, it's some kind of indefatigable spirit. It is not, Arlo, you kind of summed it up when you said it's not about how possible it is to do something. It's that you want to do something, and so you are going to do something. And that seems like, at least for me, it is easy to get very daunted. And the more you learn, I think, the more you can get really depressed about the world. But that is not the solution. That's not even the beginning of the solution. I find you both very inspiring.
Well, it's not, you know, I wouldn't say it's just in, like, special individuals that make a difference in the world. It's, for example, you know, the Youth Media Project that's on, I respect what they're doing. All youth in Santa Fe, is, you know, they all have the possibility to do something, and as long as they do that, you know, I have great respect for the youth in Santa Fe and all the people in Santa Fe and in the world.
I hear you. Emily, if people want to find out more about Roots and Shoots or how they can start their own Roots and Shoots group, what is some contact info?
They can go on our website. It's www.rootsandshoots.org, spelled out. And they can go to our Four Corners region website to find out more what's going on here in New Mexico and the Four Corners state. And there's the contact information on there as well.
Great. Arlo, Genevieve, Emily, thank you for being on. I look forward to hearing more about your various projects in the future and your senatorial runs and things like that. Have a good day.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. We'll be back with Rob DeWalt of Pasa Tiempo, speaking of the arts. Welcome back to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Is it just me, or does Marilyn do the best voiceovers? With me, sitting in for Robert Knott, is Rob DeWalt of Pasa Tiempo, speaking of the arts. How you doing, Rob?
Howdy, I'm doing great.
Good.
Great.
So what the heck is going on for the next few days?
Well, you know, Santa Fe HRA is ramping up the Pride celebrations.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I got some sinning to do over the next couple of days.
Absolutely.
There's, you know, there's all kinds of events. They've moved it from the plaza to the rail yard parking plaza this year. And so the parade route is different, and there's like something like 8 or 9 hours of live music happening on the performance screen, which I haven't really seen utilized that well yet, so this will be interesting
this
to see.
This may be the most stunning pride in Santa Fe yet.
I think it's going to be. You know, the entertainment kicks off at I think, around 10:30 and goes till 6 o'clock. So there's something to see for, you know, for that entire period. You know, a couple of things that I'm looking forward to. Audio Buddha, great local act, Steve Brisk and friends.
I don't know Audio Buddha at all, but it's one of the best names that I've ever heard. That alone makes me want
to
see it.
Yeah, well, it's you know, it sounds like it sounds, actually. You know, I mean, it's sort of the sort of peaceful trance vibe and sort of world music influence. And Steve is really great. He's actually doing the Men's Night Out party at the Hilton Hotel this evening. I think it starts at 5 o'clock. And then he'll be DJing from 10... Oh, let's see. When is he going to be DJing? Oh, from... I think at 10:30 he starts.
10:30 a.m. Could that possibly be right?
Yeah.
DJing at 10:30 a.m.?
Yeah, to 10:30 a.m. to I think like 11:30 a.m.
I wonder if he'll still be going from the night before.
Probably. And I know that he actually has a set later in the day, but there's all kinds of great acts to see. And you can go to the Santa Fe HRA website to figure out more. And the best thing about it is that there's something for everybody. It's not just... you know, a bunch of dancing drag queens or whatever. Ron Romanofsky and friends that are going to be there. Samba Faye, the Gender Offenders Performance Troupe. DJ Tatooine. DJ Santa Fe, who I got to mention because this guy has been spinning records in Santa Fe for, well, he's going to hate me because I'm going to call him out, but for 30 years he's been doing it. And
That's a hell of a lot of DJ
He pretty much was the guy who came to Santa Fe and said, hey, I got a good idea. Why don't we use more than one turntable? So we don't have to switch records.
Revolutionary.
Exactly. The drinks keep flowing that way. DJ Santa Fe is going to be closing that out. And, of course, there's all kinds of stuff going on all over town throughout the weekend, through Sunday, actually.
One of my colleagues who moved here from the Bay Area, you know, first couple of years that she saw our Pride Parade, she says, it's so cute. You have such a cute little parade. And I'm starting to feel like Pride is really ramping up. It's not going to be the cute little Santa Fe Pride anymore. Now it's a big, fantastic, fancy deal.
It sort of outgrew the plaza in terms of the number of people and the needs of the HRA to be able to do fundraising, and they couldn't do it on the plaza. They struck a deal. I wrote a story about it last week in last week's Pasta Tiempo. They struck a deal with the Rail Yard. And so this year they're going to have merchants. They're going to have a beer garden for the grown-ups.
And who doesn't love a beer garden?
I'm telling you. I was thinking, why don't they just set up the beer garden today?
Absolutely.
That way I can just bring a blanket. I don't have
call it the warm-up.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need an opening band. You just need a beer garden.
I know, but you know, it's going to be a high-key event this year. And I think that every year it's just going to get bigger. And those guys are doing an incredible job. Yeah. Donya Hotch and
yeah, we love Donya. She really turns it up and makes it happen.
Yeah, she does. She does. And she's you know, she's a wonderful organizer too. And the people that she has working with her on Pride this year, everyone should give them a round of applause if they see them because they're doing a great job. There's a bunch of other stuff going on. And for some reason, this is the weekend for wine lovers, apparently.
Second best thing to a beer garden.
So, yeah, exactly. There's a bunch of things going on. There's Wine for a Cause on Saturday, which is happening at the Pink Adobe from 4 to 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available, but there's going to be wine.
What is the cause?
The cause is to benefit the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, which is really hard to say 10 times fast.
It is, but you did a really good job one time slow.
One time slow is all you're going to get from me on Friday morning. But if you want for, any more information for that, there's going to be silent and live auctions and live music, too, and that's from 4 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. You can go to the Pride Parade, chill out, go to the beer garden, and then you can put on some nice clothes, or you don't even have to.
You may even be able to fit a nap in there before you do it and still fit it all in.
That's what I'm saying. You call 262-6014. You can get some more information on that event. On Sunday, Smiles of a Summer Night. La Casa Cena it's their 25th anniversary celebration.
Wow, hard to imagine they've been around that long.
I know. And it's also the Santa Fe Symphony's 25th anniversary. And so they're getting together, and they're throwing this little shindig, champagne, hors d'oeuvres, five-course dinner music.
Wow.
With the Santa Fe Symphony is going to be performing. That's at 6 p.m. on Sunday in the La Casa Cena Courtyard. If you call the Santa Fe Symphony Orchestra box office at 983-3530, you can get more information about that. Now, proceeds, some of the proceeds are going to benefit the Symphony Orchestra, so it's not, you know, I mean, it's an expensive event, but it's a fundraiser.
Good cause. And that's probably the most beautiful garden courtyard, public garden courtyard in Santa Fe.
It is. I was walking around yesterday, and you know, I've lived here on and off since I was two, and I grew up playing in little places like that around Santa Fe. And, you know, I'm afraid because our office is right near La Casa Senda that if I go there for lunch, I'm just going to stay there. I'm just going to say, you know what, I don't really need to go back to the office today.
And great then, view, great food, and the servers will bring you drinks.
And the next thing you know, they're scooping me up and throwing me in a taxi.
That's right. Nobody's happy.
Right. But in Taos, from July 2nd to July 11th, is the Toast of Taos, which is wine tastings, dinners, gallery tours, auctions. It's happening all over the place. You know, there's a range of ticket prices because there's a bunch of events that you can subscribe to. But if you call 575-751-5811, you can get more information on that. Also, a fundraiser benefits the Holy Cross Hospital Foundation.
Yeah, everybody, you know, everybody's hard up now. These fundraisers are really important to keep these nonprofits rolling.
But I think it's really great that sort of nonprofits and for-profit businesses are sort of learning how to merge better and do these events, you know. It's really the only way that some of these nonprofits are going to survive. I know that for a fact. I'm not going to name any names, but that's the only way that some of them are going to survive. After doing all that sinning on Saturday and Friday, you can go to a cowgirl barbecue from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for Bethlehem and Eggs. Have you ever been to that?
I have never been to that.
Oh, it's like at least after 12 o'clock, it's a come to Jesus with a Bloody Mary. It's like Margaret Burke, Josh Martin, Lydia Clark, gospel, folk music.
You are speaking my language.
I'm telling you, Bill Hearn Duo is also playing that evening, classic country, at 8:30 p.m. I actually ran into Bill Hearn last night at the grand reopening of the La Plazuela restaurant in the La Fonda Hotel. Another place that I actually grew up in. It's absolutely beautiful. You should go in there and check it out.
I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah. All the stuff is handcrafted. Like, all the iron is hand-twisted, all the, like, hand-carved wood, and all the little glass panels are still there. It's amazing.
And Bethlehem and Eggs doesn't start till 11, so you don't even need to make it up for breakfast time. You can really
quote,
sleep it off.
Yeah, breakfast. You can go there, get some coffee, a Danish, and then at 12 o'clock you can order Bloody Mary.
Oh, perfect.
Right. Tons of gallery openings this weekend.
Anything you're really, really excited about?
Really excited about this new gig, and I drive by it almost every single day because I take all the back streets to go to work because I hate traffic. Penn Brick Galleries. Ever been there?
Never.
It's new. It's on Santa Fe Avenue. It's sort of like if you're driving down, I think, is it Dongas Bar, going downtown that one way, and Santa Fe Avenue is sort of intersects it.
Yeah.
It's up that little street, and it's really sort of like a live work environment, but it's a beautiful studio. Zach Scheinbaum and friends and a bunch of other people are running it. They're doing this show called Lore, Legends of a Different Kind, group show of drawings, screen prints, and video. There's a reception from 10 to, 7 to 10 p.m. Now, this is one of these places where you go and it's sort of like there's a reception, but then you can't just walk in the next day and check it out. So it's usually there's a lot of people at these things because it's sort of a one-time only event.
So be there or risk missing out on
a
one-time experience.
Be there, park at the Capitol, and walk across the street because there ain't no parking over there, honey.
It's a small downtown.
Yeah.
Park somewhere and hoof it. We could all use the exercise.
Exactly. I'm really excited about the show with Site Santa Fe. There's a great story in Paso Tiempo on page 20 today. Site Santa Fe, a ceramic sculpture by Clara Kristalova, if I said that wrong, I apologize. Installation by Brent Green and an installation by Ruben Ochoa. There's a reception from 5 to 7 p.m. And, you know, just sometimes you got to pay to get into Site Santa Fe, but for the reception tonight, you don't have to pay at all.
Love it. That's what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah, and that thing is going to be up until September 6th. So you got plenty of time.
Not a one-time only deal.
Right. I don't know. There, you know,
but don't miss it. Still not a good reason to miss it.
Right. There's no good reason to miss it, especially if it's free.
That's my favorite price of all the prices.
Yeah, I mean,
it's my second favorite price. I like the ones where you walk in and they give you some money, but I haven't found any of those for a while.
No.
I do sometimes get money to go away.
Right.
But I try to hold out because you can see more and get more money when you finally concede to leaving.
You know, that's true. No one's going to pay you to come to a show. Well, maybe. You know, in Hollywood it happens all the time, I'm sure.
Doesn't happen to me.
Doesn't happen to me either. I don't have the abs for it, apparently.
No.
Gosh, the Santa Fe Complex, there's a show there, Manipulated Image, audio-visual group show. There's a reception tonight from 8:30 to 10:30. These guys are smart. You know, it's most people do their openings, their receptions from 5 to 7 or 5 to 8 p.m. These guys, they wait for everything else to wrap up. You know, they get the later crowd, the party
end. Which is smart. Why not do both? If you can go to the 5 to 7 reception and still check out the weird and fantastic
right.
stuff going on at Santa Fe Complex.
Spread the love.
Absolutely.
And I was in, my partner's father was in town last weekend, and I did the Canyon Road Walk with him. You know, paid for parking, which always hurts to live here.
Absolutely, it does. It's very painful.
And he was with his boss. They were coming down from Washington State, and I am telling you, man, it's like 30 minutes of it, and I don't know how people from out of town do it. I was exhausted. It was hot. You know, El Farol's patio just kept screaming at me, like, come and get some water and some tea.
Absolutely. It's so intense.
Right. But
it's like our little desert arty Disneyland there.
No. It's you know, it's Canyon Road is growing and it's morphing. And in some ways it's growing and morphing in good ways. And in some ways it's growing and morphing in I'm not going to say bad, but in unusual ways. You know, there's a few exhibits on Canyon Road or a few galleries that have openings tonight, but the Delgado Street Fourth Friday Art Walk is tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. I don't have a list of galleries in front of me, but if you go to discoverdelgado.com, you can get a list of the galleries, and you know, it's great. Pippin Gallery is over there. There's tons of great galleries on Delgado, and it's sort of off. I consider it a little bit off the beaten path in terms of the art that's presented and the convenience of getting there and parking and whatnot.
There are all these amazing little pockets of things like that, like Delgado Street, where you just sort of maybe make a wrong turn and suddenly find yourself in a whole amazing neighborhood full of things you've never seen before, such as all these fantastic galleries.
Yeah. Having worked on Canyon Road when I back in high school, you know, one of the galleries that's there now used to be a Chinese restaurant that I used to work at. And so every time I'm on Canyon Road, whether or not I'm with touristy folk or not, it always brings back all these memories. And then I start walking into all these little alcoves and buildings and stuff. And, you know, my partner's father was the first one to say, God, things have gotten really expensive up here.
Absolutely. The takeout is a little pricier, but it lasts a heck of a lot longer.
Yeah, exactly. Santa Fe Art Institute. Got to support these guys over on the College of Santa Fe campus, where light meets water. Mumuru on the Equator. It's an installation by Anna MacArthur in conjunction with the Land Art Project. There's a reception from 3 to 5 p.m. this afternoon.
Psst.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hey, Bill. Hey, you know, remember we have a ticket giveaway?
We have a pair of tickets to give away. I heard Marilyn whispering in my conscience, and then she was whispering in my ear. Dan Hicks is going to be at the Santa Fe Brewing Company.
That's right.
That's going to be a superb show. And if you want to go see Dan Hicks, and I know you do, Marilyn will answer the phone. You'll hear that melodious voice over voice, and she will say, you are the one who will go see Dan Hicks tonight. If you want to be that person, no, it's not tonight. It's Saturday night, 7:30. Call Marilyn at 428-1382, 428-1382. She's only got one pair. Punch those buttons fast. What else we got going on,
that
Rob?
That was like a divine intervention.
That was.
Weird.
That's what happens when you're kind of a bad radio host. You have your awesome producer chime in and say.
They'll say that. I can tell you one thing for sure, and that is that this week, every person that does karaoke in this town is scrambling to find the Michael Jackson singles for their.
It's absolutely true. They're breaking them out.
It's a sad day for pop music. It's, you know, I mean, we lost a bunch of great entertainers this week.
It was a strange week.
This week, but I think on Saturday, Showcase Karaoke with Cindy and Nancy at Tiny's at 8:30 p.m. There's going to be a lot of people singing Michael Jackson, so, you know.
That's like a 40 years of back catalog there to choose from.
I know. And apparently he was just about to do 50 concerts in London before
That's
he
right.
died.
So I had this weird feeling yesterday that we were going to find out that it was actually not true, that he had somehow faked his own death. I'm a little less convinced of that this morning.
I was too. I was almost sick to my stomach when I got home and turned on MTV to see what kind of coverage they were doing. And the best that they could come up with was celebrities were Twittering their responses to
wow,
his demise.
Wow, that is really kind of
like,
sad and
wow.
pathetic.
Remember when Kurt Cobain died and they like had all this great coverage and they spoke to the fans, the
yeah,
people that
yeah.
bought his records? Didn't happen on MTV.
Which is a little strange. One of the great icons of our time.
I know. These things come in threes. Ed, Farrah, and Michael. And so hopefully we're done for a little while.
Yeah, let's hope
it's a break. The celebrity death thing.
To find out all the rest of what is going to be happening over the next week or so, don't forget to pick up Pasa Tiempo. Much to your relief, Santa Fe, Mary Charlotte will be back next Friday. But unfortunately, I'll be back with her. It'll be all right. And Robert Knott will be back, speaking of the arts. But Rob, I think we did okay in the absence of our betters.
I think we scrambled. We put something together, you know. And I don't think anybody noticed that I was naked. So.
No, I certainly didn't.
Okay.
It was good. Have a good week, Santa Fe, and a good weekend. Thank you very much.